you had about somebody that might be sitting in a space where they're struggling. Can I just say that as a church, we love to worship God. We love to express our joy and celebrate. But we're also real. We also are a safe place where you can come and you can say, hey, I need somebody to walk with me today. Things are hard. So if you're in that place, I'd just like to point out over here, we've got a couple of couches. After the service, just head there. There'll be a couple of people that we trust that will be sitting around that area that would love to pray with you. Or perhaps you came with a friend. I'm sure they would love to pray with you as well. Well, I want to do what the kids did. I want us to be able to share stories about Easter Camp. Camp Generosity. We've been working into this theme, this generous understanding the generosity of God. And rather than me tell you about camp, I'd love you to tell us about camp. So turn to some people beside you. Maybe you're visiting or you've just come here today. Well, I know that people around you, they went to camp. Ask them, oh, what happened there? What did God say to you? So let's take a few moments. Let's share some of those stories. If you turn to the person beside you or behind you, let's do that now. All right. So obviously you've had a good week and interesting things have happened, or there's a good camp that you went to. I think that time at camp was significant for us as a church. In one sense, I really believe that we reflected, we echoed who our God is. Our God is generous. And so coming together, 180 of us, being able to go to camp, whether you can afford to or not, through the generosity of others, was super special. And our time together was a little touch of heaven on earth, where there was just kindness extended to one another. We've been generous because God is generous. A new command I give you. This is what Jesus says. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. There's something that happens when we are who we're called to be. When we act and behave in a certain way, not informed by our own carnal nature, our own desires, but actually act out of a God-centered, God-given gift, love. It changes the way that we respond to each other, and indeed the way we respond to God. This morning's question that I want to ask you, I want to put before you, what does it look like? Because during that time we were reflecting God's love. What does it look like to reflect God's reconciliation? Offering God's forgiveness. A radical forgiveness. Jesus, in teaching the disciples to pray, said, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Well, one of the beauties of having a preaching series that is tied to a book is the inevitability of covering some challenging commands. And the preacher doesn't get to make it up as they go along. The text tells them. The text tells them what it is that's going to be spoken on that morning. And working our way through the book of Matthew, that's what we're doing as a church. We're looking at the words of Jesus, recognizing that Jesus' words, they are spirit, they are life. They're not just the written words of mankind. They're informed, gifted to us by the Holy Spirit. So this morning, our key passage is Matthew chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, turn to it. If not, just so happens I have it on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there, in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Isn't that something? If we put those two verses together, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and this passage about reconciliation, Jesus teaches us that we are to ask our Heavenly Father for forgiveness, but in doing so, we should also confirm our practice of forgiving others. Of course, this assumes that we're in the practice of forgiving others, an assumption that may or may not be true for us. How could we pray in a way that Jesus teaches us if we are unwilling to forgive? How could we ask God to forgive us if we hold a grudge or become mired in the quicksand of resentment? This is what I want us to explore this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I really do believe that your words are life. They come into our life and they cut, they reveal. And God, as we've been experiencing some amazing teaching over the camp about your love, your generosity. It breaks through all our preconceptions of what thing, of who you are. And it reveals how broken we are. That's a good thing, God. Because it allows your mind to replace our mind. To take on the way that you think, the way that you see, the way that you act. Lord Jesus, we ask the same for this morning's reading. We pray that it would go in, it would cut deep where it needs to cut. It would reveal the muck and the gunk inside our lives. Remove that so that we're transformed to be more and more like you, a God that is generous. Amen. Well, I want to start with the story of reconciliation. I have a sibling, and I have a couple of siblings, and one of those siblings left home quite early, and so they went off and they lived their life, and we drifted apart dramatically apart. They had their life, I had my life, and whenever we came together, things were tense. There was not a lot of love. That's the only way I could describe it. And I think I felt abandoned. I have to admit. Challenging journey. We lived in many different places. I think I went to more than 10 different schools. And having that consistency of a sibling with you was something that was grounding. But when he was gone and the change continued, it was hard. And so our relationship, there was a fracture that was brought about. Fast forward 20 odd years, Rachel and I had been overseas. We'd come back and we were building a home for ourselves. And by the grace of God, we were able to build two houses on this property. And so I felt, and had a conversation with Rachel, just didn't do this without her input. I felt that God wanted to do something special, something new in my siblings and my relationship. And so I phoned, I said, look, I've got this land. I'll give you that land to build on if you want to come and build a house. And so they packed up their life and moved to Christchurch. And we greeted them, and so began a really amazing healing time as we built a house together. It was special. Every day, working. Yes, working with a sibling can have its challenges. But it was special. God used that time to reconcile us, I think, to a new level. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. How can I do that? How can I love somebody when there's some brokenness? Well, when I see this person in front of me, what is it that I'm seeing? Well, I think it's because I'm actually not just seeing my sibling standing before me. I see Christ. My sibling was specifically made in the image of Christ. You are specifically made in the image of Christ. That's astounding. That's astounding. My God, our God, created each and every one of us. And this person that we were made in the image of, they stand in the place of my sin. We've sung a lot of songs about that this morning, actually. This recognition, this realization that Jesus has done something incredible for me. If Jesus did that for me in my brokenness, surely I can do that for another. See, not only is my sibling made in the image of God, but they carry the Spirit of God. Whether they're a Christian or not, do you know that? Scripture says, I have poured out my Spirit upon all flesh. There is a measure of God. There's a measure of God's goodness that has been poured into each and every person that walks this earth. And we, as Christians, have the incredible privilege of revealing that. pointing out that God has begun a work in them. Matthew 25, Jesus talking about those that will enter heaven and those that won't, describes it like this for those that will enter heaven. It says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." The disciples, Jesus carried on the story, and he said, and the people that he put into the story responded, I didn't see you. I didn't clothe you, Jesus. What are you talking about?" And he goes on to unpack that the very people that you encounter in your everyday life, they're Jesus. There's something of Jesus in them. And as we love on them, as we extend God's grace and mercy, forgiveness, and enact reconciliation, we're doing that to Jesus. Do we see Christ in those around us? Because when we do, it moves us to compassion. It moves us to take on the mind of Christ. Is it easy? Certainly not. My sibling came to me about 3 months into this build project and said, "Actually, I don't want to take on the mortgage." Now, Rachel and I were preparing to return to China. And so we were setting ourselves up so that we could go and have no encumbrances back here, nothing that would cause us to not be able to go and serve God. And here the sibling was saying, I love the house, but I don't want the debt. And so Rachel and I had to pray. And we had to say, "God, would you help us respond appropriately? What would you do, Lord? What would you do, Lord?" And so by the grace of God, we were able to put finance in place. And they were able to stay in the home, rent it, but have ownership as well at the same time to serve that debt. If I hadn't been able to do that, if I had allowed resentment and other human responses to overtake me, what place would I have been in to extend the love of Christ, not just to my sibling, but to others? How can I come to God and worship Him in spirit and truth if I have bitterness in my heart? Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. The passage that Jesus is saying these words in, I often sort of like think that maybe it's kind of like close to the temple. We hear this perhaps when we're taking communion. Hey, make sure you go and fix that. And so we might be sitting in church and you're sitting there and you reflect and you think, oh, yeah, there is that person. Yeah, I really need to talk to them about this. But we're having communion in a minute. That's kind of awkward. What will people think? Wow. I'll just sit with it. I'll pray. That's what I'll do. But no, Jesus is saying, get up and talk to them. And the setting of this, he's preaching it, Sermon on the Mount, up by, there you go, I'm wearing my t-shirt, Lake of Galilee. It's my t-shirt my mum just bought me from Israel a couple of weeks ago, so I said I'd wear it. That's where he is. Now, where is it that the offerings are offered? At the temple. Where's the temple? It's a long way away. So Jesus is saying, if you've got an issue with your brother or sister, leave your offering at the temple, where it is, and go and talk to them. Reconcile. This distance, it's Camp Generosity. It's Tauranga. That's how far Jesus is saying, go and reconcile them. It's not going to be easy. probably be awkward. There's a significant walk ahead. Can you picture what would be going through your mind as you walk all the way to Tauranga? Man, you'd be planning it, wouldn't you? Now how can I get them? How can I get them to see that they're wrong? Maybe there's something in me. Maybe there's something that I did. But really, they need to acknowledge that they're wrong. And so I come back to Warren. What's the conversation? It's a long walk. What will God do in my heart? What will He do in me to change me? This passage is written on the back of the Beatitudes, and we looked at those just a couple of weeks ago. This is the posture. This is the place that we offer reconciliation from. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. This is the place that we offer reconciliation from. Not from a place of power. Not from a place of being right. But a place of being transformed by a God who is changing us to be more and more like Him. Matthew 18 suggests this. It says, approach the person who you think has sinned and tell them you took offense and that you're sorry that you did. Remember, you're not going to win an argument. You have not gone to them. You know, that's not your intention to win an argument. You are going to be reconciled to a brother, to a sister. Galatians 6 describes it as in seeking to reconcile. The word it uses is the same word to set a broken arm. And the commentaries say, you know, done with great gentleness and sensitivity. I just think pain. It's painful. That there's going to be pain involved. And so we do act with great gentleness, humbleness. Are we doing it from a pure heart, or is there some other agenda that we're wanting to show that they're wrong? And it's far more important that we do it from a place of seeking to bring about who God is, the reconciler, the one who reconciled us. The AA, AAA, AAA, where we go, there it is. They have this as part of their reconciliation process. Step 4, make a list of all the people that we have harmed, and become willing to make amends to them all. And step 5, this is a great quantifier. Make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. You know, as you sit with this, as you seek to apply what it is to be reconciled, let's do it from a place where we're seeking to reflect a gentle God. Yes, a God who speaks truth, but for a purpose, to bring us together. Sometimes we know and we're aware of an offense and aware of a reconciliation, but sometimes the relationship can be tense. And we don't know why. My mum loves me. I know she loves me. But our relationship all through my childhood was tense. We'd be arguing, and we'd be arguing the same side of the argument and not even know it. I kid you not. My brother would place himself between my mother and I as she struggled with her emotions. My mother is a godly woman. My mother is a good woman. And for her to, and I, to react in this way, there was obviously something else going on. When I was about 20, my mum went to a pastor's conference. And in the middle, this worst nightmare, middle of this conference, the guy from overseas was preaching, and he just stopped mid-sentence. And he pointed at my mum. And he came on down to her, and he said, "Something happened at the birth between your son and you. At that time that happened, there was some trauma that happened there, and at that time it caused a fracture in your relationship. And the fruit of that is they probably have dyslexia. They struggle to relate to people of the other gender." And he listed some other things. And then he said, "God wants to set that free today." And he prayed, "In the name of Jesus, I release that bondage. I break whatever took place." So I get a phone call from my mum. And she says, "Lyndon, I've just been to a conference, and I'm ringing to apologize, and I'm ringing to tell you a story." She says, "When you were born, there was a midwife on duty, the head matron, and she wanted to go home. And so she was rushing the procedure, and it was tense. And at that time at the birth, I focused all my anger and fear and frustration onto what was taking place. I had severe dyslexia, and I had no female friends. That day, something dramatic changed, where God in His grace and His mercy set me free from those fruit. A broken relationship can come out of a broken spirit." Now hear me on this. I'm not for one minute saying that if you're experiencing tension in a relationship, that there is an underlying spiritual fracture. It may simply be because you're a complete and utter jerk. But I think it's important to recognize that there is more than a physical world at play. It's not just against flesh and blood that we fight. Equally, I want to express, if you have dyslexia, if you have something else going on in your life, it does not mean that that your mother had a traumatic birth. Okay? Not saying that for one second. This is what God in His grace and mercy did in this specific situation. Please don't try and impose that upon other people's journeys. Physical sickness is another area that I think broken relationships can end up being manifested in. Next week is our monthly Communion Sunday. I could have preached this message then, but I really felt it was important to actually give us time to put into action so I could go and see Warren and say, "Warren, she's missing tears tissue because it's rather traumatic. Warren, we need to have a talk." We don't, just for the record, there's absolutely nothing going on there. I want us to have time, you know? Camp was amazing because we had time. We had time to be generous to each other. I'm giving you a week. Jesus has given you a lifetime. I'm giving you a week. How special would it be to come in here reconciled, being able to approach the table, having reflected the very reconciliation act that Jesus has done for us to others. This practice of reconciliation was picked up by the early church. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A person ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. This is God speaking to us. Now again, do not for 1 minute seek to impose that somebody's sick, therefore they haven't forgiven somebody. Don't do that, all right? Let's keep this in context. It's saying some. Could it be that the unwellness you're experiencing is because there's some bitterness there? I know in my own life there's areas of my life that God wants to challenge me on. You know, when you prepare a message, it's the preacher that's first listener to this message, man. He's challenging me. He's talking to me. Whose face do you sense God may be placing before you? You may think that the offense is what causes you pain. Can I suggest that within your spirit, just the thought of the separation between your brother and your sister of Christ, that is what is causing real inner pain. Last week it drove me to express once again my sorrow at words I have used and actions I have taken. My correspondence with this individual in this church, so not just some remote person, this person that I've engaged with over the last year. I believe God wanted to bring about some change, and camp enabled the space and the time for that to happen. And I was able to have a conversation. The correspondence from that person the week leading up to camp was something that unlocked it for me. Previously, they'd always used their name when they signed the emails. Our emails were professional, not terse, but professional. They signed their name with a nickname, and it just did something in me. It was an expression of God's love, of its intimacy and closeness. Proverbs 15 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." From the Message translation, "A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire." Their kindness moved me to approach them and seek forgiveness. Nothing from the past is worth disrupting the generous river that calls us to the potential of reconciliation. You know, I believe it has been as we recognize the generosity of God to us that we've been moved into the space of generosity to each other. Equally, I believe as we focus on the reconciliation of God, it will move us to be reconciled to each other. In other words, as I personally focus on the grace that God has poured out to me, the more I am prepared to offer that grace to another. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is what Jesus did for me. This is what Jesus did for the person on the street. This is what Jesus has done for the person that I may be in tension with. Eugene Peterson translates it like this. Remember, this is Jesus that we're talking about, okay? "So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him, without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, things, animals, and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. I'm going to read that next week for communion. Because through Christ, all things have been reconciled to God. All the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe. This is so then the question for every decision we make, an attitude and theology we are called to hold, is to ask ourselves, does this increase and improve my connection with people and things? Or does it shrink my world? Does this lead me towards including or excluding? Is love the undisputed winner? Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you bring a revelation to each one of us? Who is it that you would want us? What is it that you want us to be reconciled to? I want to say, if you have never understood that this reconciliation is for you, that Christ has made a way for you to be whole, to have meaning, then please come and see me, or the person that you've come with. It'd be such a privilege to tell you who Jesus is, what he's done, to introduce you to the one that is reconciling not just you, but the whole world. So what can you do? Well, if you are aware of an offense that you have taken, be it justified or not, go and be moved with the generosity that Christ has extended to you. Each week I end our message by reading from the end of Matthew. It's his message of going and to teach all that he has taught. I want to do a different verse this week. It's from 2 Corinthians. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making this appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us. That's Jesus. He became sin for us, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Lord Jesus, I want to dedicate this week to reconciliation. I want to give that time for us to each go to that person that we need to go to and to seek forgiveness, to offer forgiveness. Let us go with your eyes, with your heart, with your posture, one of humbleness, not seeking to appoint blame, but seeking to reconcile, so that when we come together again next Sunday, we can eat the bread and drink from the cup and celebrate what you've done for us and what we have given to others. I ask this in your precious name. Amen. Our church, bless you. I pray that you're encouraged and challenged. Remember, there is coffee out the back here. If you're visiting, we'd love to have a coffee with you. If you go to the info station out there, there's also other information we can give you, tell you about the church, who we are, what we're passionate about. Just hopefully they're going to say, Jesus, that's the answer. Bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.